Romans chapter 6 and I want us to begin reading verse 6 and we'll read two verses. The whole chapter deals with this. Well, actually 6, 7, and 8, as you well know, deals along these lines here, but I just want to read these two verses. Where the Lord said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Let's pray, everyone. Lord, this morning, thank you for this great service, presence of the Lord that's here. Ask you now, Lord, anoint me, touch me, Lord, that I might preach this message. Someone, Lord, be touched and encouraged. God, and I'll be thankful. Be careful to give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. One word's on my mind this morning, and I want to use that to preach from. It's a couple aspects of this word that I want to deal with, the Lord willing. But it's mentioned in verse 7, and I want to take that word and I want to preach about freedom. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Unfortunately, it's something that here in the U.S. is slowly slipping away, I mean, as far as our natural civil liberties. But there's another aspect of this freedom that no political arena, nor any politician or group of any political party can ever do away with it. And that's freedom in our heart. Freedom from sin and ungodliness. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so I want to deal with that a little while this morning, the Lord willing. And I've noticed over the years, and as I mentioned, as an evangelist, as a pastor, and now as a missionary, and been to several countries, working in these countries intimately with the nationals, as they say. And I've noticed one attribute that's the same anywhere in the world you want to go, and that's human nature. It's the same anywhere you go. A child is a child anywhere you want to go in the world. And I'll assure you, doesn't matter where you go, every child in the world likes a little piece of candy. They don't know what you're saying, perhaps, but they know when you pull that piece of candy out. And having said that, I've noticed that people struggle with the power of sin of that former lifestyle. I've watched that over the years as people would struggle to be free from that influence of that old man, influence of that former lifestyle that they lived. But I've also come to experience personally and to observe in the various services of how Christ has come to destroy that dominion of sin, praise God, and provide a means to resist that power to sin that wants to re-enter in our lives as Christian. And thank God now that the new creature in Christ has the ability to take control of their lives, to cast out and to keep out that former controlling element, amen, of sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and by exercising godly choices. Two aspects of being free. One deals with what Christ has done, which was to, and it's the first thing we'll talk about, how Christ come to destroy the power of sin. amen, once and for all. And then the Lord will, the second aspect that I'd like to deal with this morning is the power to sin. The power of sin has been destroyed, amen, and the power to sin rests with you and rest on my part. One is God's part, one is my part. So I want to talk about that a little while this morning. Praise the Lord. Every man, every Christian in one aspect or another, in some degree or another, wrestles and struggles against the old nature. Ain't that right? I mean, you know, I realize, and I don't want to get off on all this morning, but I will mention that, you know, as we give our heart and life to Jesus, and as we commit ourselves more and more to Him, as our brother talked about, that being sanctified last night, Brother Prescott was talking about what an opportunity to have that influence done away with. I'm glad of that this morning, ain't you? And we can get victory over some things. But at the same time, and you know, I don't want to get bogged down in this aspect this morning, but I do notice that the closer I get to the Lord, the more that I see I need to give Him of myself, and the more of me that I see, is that okay this morning? And the more that I need conform to His image, praise the Lord. And so, having said that this morning, we as men and women of God, praise the Lord, we wrestle at times with that nature. We were born with it. It's part, in one respect, of who we are, in a sense. Praise the Lord this morning. Thank God. The Bible called it an old nature. Praise the Lord. And Paul talked about it as an old nature because truly it is old. Amen. It is something that we were born with. And I'll illustrate this. Now I have 3 children. They're all grown. I have 4 grandchildren now. And one thing I've noticed, more particularly with my children, because they were around me more than my grandchildren are, but I did notice, and I will ask you this question as parents, maybe older parents with grandchildren, or maybe as new parents with, you know, children still at your home. Regarding your children, do you teach them to do good, or do you teach them to do bad, and why? Do you tell them, you know, that, do you teach them bad things? I know some my brother talked about last night in his testimony, that influence, but I'm saying as a whole, what do we have to teach children? We teach them to do good, do we not? Why is that? Who taught them to reach back and go after that cookie after you told them to don't do it? Who told that little infant, perhaps, I mean just a small babe, to stiffen up and to resist? They can't even talk. They can't read. For all practical purposes, can't even reason. But they already know to resist and to rebel. Where did that come from? Who taught them to do that? Amen. So we struggle with that old nature that's born in us. Praise the Lord. Paul calls him a man. Why is that? Because really, he is a complete man after the image of Adam. He has his desires. He has his judgment. He has his thoughts. He has his language. He has his action as a complete man in his rebellious state. Isn't that right? Paul goes on and said and calls him an old man. How old is he? He's as old as Eden is, brother. He's as old as the world is. He's been around from that whole time that the world has been in existence. That old man has been here. Praise God. And I'll tell you, folks, that old nature is tainted by that old serpent, and it bears with of his old sin. Praise the Lord. You can read in this chapter 6 and in the first 13 verses, you can find the word death, died, and dead, and these attributes of that word to die mentioned 14 times in the first 13 verses of Romans chapter 6. So that tells me, brother, and yet within this, you don't find anything associated with life, liberty, and freedom when regarding that old man. It's all dead. It's all dying. It's all negative. Nothing positive regarding that old nature. Praise the name of the Lord. I tell you this morning, folks, I'm glad Jesus come to destroy that old nature. Amen. And bring a transformation to our heart and give us an ability and give us a power and give us a choice in which whom, or rather, you know, to whom we will serve. We now, at one time, we had no choice. Sin was the master. Sin had dominion. Sin was the controlling element in our lives. Amen. But now, and I'll deal with this in just a few moments, but as a prelude, Christ come that now we have a choice of whom and what we will serve this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. That old nature has its tendency. That old nature has its nature. It has its ruins. It's cursed, amen, by God. That old nature is deceitful. It's cunning. It's subtle, this old nature is. Amen. The works of the flesh are a direct result of that old nature. And our brother in the Vesper service told us one attribute and one aspect of that old nature, and there's nothing good about it and whatsoever. The flood come upon the world. Back in Genesis, God destroyed this world with water. Why? Because the heart of man was on evil continually. My God, we see fire and brimstone fell on Sodom and Gomorrah as a direct result of this old Adamic nature. Amen. We know that in the coming years, when Christ, amen, after all things burns with the fervent heat, as Peter says, this old world, amen, all of these terrible things are a direct result of that old nature. My God, I tell you, folks, amen, no wonder we are so admonished in these services and various methods, amen, to wrestle against him. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but a nature, a principality, a power, amen, that's down within us that wants to rule and control and take authority over your life this morning, amen. You find these words attributed. Does this sound like when I'm going to read you a little list that I've compiled here? And you tell me if this sounds like something that you want to be a part of. Satan, the devil, hell, demons, torments, fire and brimstone, judgment, eternal death, sorrow, pain, suffering, separation, confusion, discord, wars, disagreements, my God, bitterness, family feuds, amen, unholy affections and passions, lust, ungodly, corruption, and abominations. Are these attributes that you want tagged on the end of your name? Is this something that you want to be a partaker of? It sounds like something I really want to avoid at all costs. How about you this morning? But I want to tell you, folks, without Christ, without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, amen, men are taken captive by this nature. Men are enslaved and bound in bondage to this old nature. And my brother, the unfortunate, one of the more hideous, in my opinion, aspects of this old nature, they are absolutely powerless to do anything about it without Christ. How many times have you read in the newspapers or, you know, some horrific situation, some terrible atrocity somebody does. And I'm not going to name all this stuff. I mean, y'all read the newspapers and, you know, get your news via different mediums as I do. But I have noticed, and even more so in recent times, when the defendant, after doing, you know, some horrible deed to a family or a group of people, or even his own family perhaps, these words, like unto these words, something uncontrollable come over me. Y'all ever read that? You ever heard it? Sure you have. I tell you, folks, there is a nature that we have to deal with. There is a nature that you as an individual are going to have to make a conscious choice and a decision about. Is it something you can avoid? This ain't nothing that you can just put off to another day. I mean, you know, look what it's already doing to you. Look what it's all, the effects of it already in your own personal walk, in your own personal life. I tell you, you need to deal with this today. Today in this environment with the power of God in this place, in these precious men, and I do count it an honor to have this opportunity, Brother Prescott. I hope I'm a blessing to you. But I count it an honor to share this pulpit with such great men that have preached in this pulpit, be counted worthy to be in your presence, presenting to you this gospel message this morning. And I'm saying that with such men that's in this place that know God, know the power of Christ, have experienced the power of the Holy Ghost in their lives. These men can direct you and help you, amen, if you don't know what to do about this old nature, this old spirit, this old fleshly, animalistic attributes and that comes upon you from time to time. I'll tell you, these men here that can help you deal with that, and not only deal with it, recognize it for what it is, and show you how to overcome it by the blood of Jesus Christ, and submit yourself to the authority of God's word, amen, and repenting of all things, amen, and asking God to save and sanctify you, and nothing else but to fill you ultimately with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. I tell you, folks, Christ came. We heard a wonderful testimony. Amen. And I unfortunately don't remember your name, brother. I know your wife because I had her in youth camp years and years ago. Amen. At Bronxton, when we were involved with the Calvary people down there. But the point I'm making is we've seen the results. We know personally, perhaps we're acquainted with one, and maybe you personally have experienced for lack of a better way to express it, how Christ can destroy that dominion of sin. I tell you, I'm not going to get off in a personal testimony this morning. I don't have time. However, I know what it's all about to walk, get up from an altar of prayer and feel and know and experience that freedom from sin. Hallelujah. Just like scales, as Paul said, amen, it fell off our eyes. And recognize that old nature for what it was, amen. Sin and ungodliness that had us bound. But I'll tell you, folks, why do we rejoice? Why do we express ourselves with tears or some movement, some, you know, we just can't contain ourselves, and we run and we dance for those that are able. Others rejoice, verbally cry, amen, because we are so thankful to be free from sin, free from its tentacles, free from its bondage, free from the power of sin. It now has no dominion over us. Amen. Woo.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Amen. I'll tell you, we recognize that indignation and wrath, my God, tribulation and anguish from God is something that now no longer pertains to us. That was that old nature. No wonder throughout, and as I study and read, I'm recognizing more and more of how these godly men dealt and instructs God's people to stay, amen, under the blood and to keep, hack him up like Samuel hacked up Agag. That old nature, my God. Take it, amen, like Elijah done the 400 prophets of Baal and annihilate them with the word of God. Hallelujah. You can't afford to let that Adamic nature rise up and take authority over you this morning. Amen. It'll destroy you. It'll not only destroy you, but your family, your ministry. My God, it'll destroy your children, your grandchildren. You cannot afford, amen, to let that nature have its way in your life. Amen. Woo. Woo. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Ghost, hallelujah. 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 When Christ bowed his head and said it was finished, I tell you, brother, not only did the veil rent, but I'm telling you, Christ took that a sword, if you will, of his sinless life. Thank God, and destroyed that old nature. Give us an opportunity now by that choice of serving Christ, of whom, I'm telling you, it was a fulfillment of Joshua's question, choose you this day to whom you'll serve. I'll tell you, you have a choice. Don't you listen to that lying, deceitful, subtle, cunning flesh, amen. It tells you you have no choice, that you can. I'm here to declare to you in the name of Jesus, you have a choice to serve God in liberty today and freedom from sin. Amen. But it's your choice. I can't make that decision for you. I would to God I could. I do. I've got two children that's unsaved. I'd make the decision for them if they would let me, but it ain't my choice. It's theirs and it's yours. Let me move on this morning. I got another preacher coming in. Amen. I don't want to step ahead of him, but I do have something else to say. Christ came to destroy the power of sin. And not only that, but when he destroyed it, he gave you the ability and a sound mind to choose to sin and continue in the old way or not. What does he say here in verse 1? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Sounds to me like the Romans here, Paul saying, y'all got a choice. You can either continue like you went or you don't. When the Lord touched me and saved me and cleansed my heart, folks, I recognize what it was that had me bound for 20 some odd years. I recognize that. And from that point on, I had a choice. As I said, there's two paths that's presented to us this morning. And so I want to deal now with this second aspect of this, my thoughts this morning are of the power to sin. Christ destroyed the power of sin, but now it's our decision to deal with the power to sin. That's in our corner, for lack of a better way to express it. That's our decision to make. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you, we must resist to maintain this victorious life that's in Christ. How many folks? I've read, I could reference different men in the Word of God, but
You know, there are people in my pastorate years that I talked to and went and visited, you know, in the at the hospital beds and maybe at the nursing centers and such, and on their last days of serving the Lord, 60, 70 years even, perhaps. They were different ones in different methods and ways of expressing themselves, told me the gist of the same thing. The devil is fighting me even to the end. Amen. And I have to, after all of these years, make the conscious decision to serve God. Hallelujah. Before salvation, the struggle was to resist sin, which, quite frankly, was impossible. Prior to conversion, prior to Christ, you giving your life to Christ, you couldn't resist it. It was your master. Amen. But I tell you, after we've been enlightened, after we've been saved and our eyes are open, our understanding has been illuminated. Brother Prescott, I remember him talking about that, said, if I could quote him, and brother, you can make the correction if I don't get this just right, but I really like what you said, and I've adapted, I guess is the right word. That, you know, instead of saying it's a revelation, he said, I prefer to say it's an illumination. And I like that because we have the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're just illuminated now. We're enlightened. Our understanding has been broadened, and we understand now, praise God. And since that time has come to our lives, amen, and we comprehend the struggle, amen, of sin and the old nature of what it was, the struggle is not to resist sin, but the struggle is to do good. Isn't that right? The struggle is to do good, praise God. But I want to tell you, he's given us that ability. And I want to deal with a couple things, and I won't be too terribly long, much longer this morning. But I noticed I'm going to deal with three words that's in this passage of Scripture that deal with this, of how to make the correct choice on rather to sin or not sin. And that's really what it is. When you give in to that Adamic nature, it's just sin. That's just all it is to it. You can call it any other word if you want to, but that's what it is. Praise God. And this first word that I noticed here that's in this Scriptures, and I mean, again, 6, 7, and 8 deals with all this, but I'm focusing primarily on chapter 6 this morning, and just a few verses of chapter 6. You find this word mentioned in verse 3, 9, 6, and 16. And that word is to know. 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 Praise God. And he mentions it numerous times. And I'll tell you, knowledge speaks, brother, of being exposed to certain facts, truths, proofs, or realities. That's what knowledge is. Praise God. And Paul wants us to understand basic doctrine, have knowledge of a basic doctrine. Our Christian living depends, folks, on Christian learning. Ain't that right? I mean, Christian living depends on having a knowledge of what Christianity is all about. And in the areas that I work in and the people that we work with, another aspect that I've noticed over the last, 12 or 13 years, I guess, since I've been a full-time missionary, is that the people we're dealing with, the basic fundamentals of Christianity, in which, you know, our society in America was based and founded upon, they do not exist in these other countries. You go and you use, and you know, I understand cliches, you know, and as Brother Lloyd mentioned last night, trying to translate some of these things just don't work. Let me give you an example. How do you express and really think about what I'm thinking to say? Man, that was so funny, I laughed my head off, really. Translate that. If you do that, look at you think, something's wrong with these Americans. They laugh and they just laugh their head plumb off their body. But everybody knows what that means, don't we? I mean, it's part of our culture. Same thing is, boy, I'm going to go pray through. Brother Robbie was down with me a couple years ago, and we had a great meeting in Mexico. He come down and preach a camp meeting for me. And he got to preaching, and I don't remember which he or the other one of the other two brothers that preached. They made a statement. I told him, now, you're going to have to wait a second here. I got to explain this concept to these folks. What I'm fixing to try to tell them makes absolutely no sense to them whatsoever. It ain't in their culture. I got to take 5 minutes and explain this idea and then tell them what you said so it makes some sense. Prayer, pray through. If I say, hey, we need to pray through, everybody in the building, I'm assuming on a day service, understand what I'm saying. But when you say that in these other countries, these other people, pray through or even pray. Repent of your sins to God. Okay, there's several terms here that they don't understand. Number one, what's sin? What's repentance? And who is God? You see what I'm up against? You just don't come down and deal with these things. You have to break it down to its simplistic form and then bring these things up. Praise God. Knowledge is powerful, folks. When you know and you are assured and your knowledge is based not on fables or cunning fables or ideas or any of these things, but it has its basis in the blessed word of God. With or without a missionary, you make it. Amen. In times when you're unable to get to the house of God and enjoy these services, you can make it because you have a fundamental knowledge of the word of God engrafted and ingrained in your mind. And you are, Brother Eugene, you preached about being fully persuaded of those things. Amen. Paul talks about knowledge, and he mentioned it several times. Amen. So with knowledge, folks, you can make the right choice of regarding the old Adamic nature. You can choose to do the right thing because you know what the Word of God says about it. Thank God. I'll tell you, folks, if the devil can keep the Christian ignorant, he will keep him impotent. Amen. Folks, he'll keep him powerless. Amen. If he can keep, that's why I don't want you to read the Bible. That's why I don't want you to study to show yourself approved. Because he can twist you all up to where you don't even know what you believe. Amen. Perhaps you have a knowledge of the Word of God. However, you're struggling with how to apply its principles to your life. You've got the facts, but you don't know what they mean, or you don't know what to do next with it. You ever been there? I mean, again, I reference my particular calling for the foreseeable future. Spanish is not my mother tongue, so therefore, I hear what they say, but sometimes I'm not really sure what they mean. Does that make sense? I heard what they said, but is that, what do they really mean by that? I mean, I'm not going to get off on all this, but, you know, just for an example, that happens in English all the time. If I was to tell you, man, that's a good dog, what's that mean? Depends on your perspective of a dog, don't it? You heard what I said, but you have no idea what I mean by that statement. And so sometimes we have this knowledge. We don't know what to do with it. We don't understand it. How do we apply that? How do we make that applicable to our Christian walk with Christ? We've read the Word of God, but I don't know how to make it work for me. Never fear. That's the second word. I'm talking about being able to make a conscious decision to serve God. The second word that Paul mentions here is reckon. You know, I found out after reading the Bible, you know, that just because I might talk funny down in South Alabama doesn't mean I'm just totally stupid, because great men as Paul even used the word reckon. I reckon. Huh? Take courage, folks. Hallelujah. This word basically speaks of understanding. You really break this word down, it means understanding. Praise God. And understanding means to be able to translate and take and make sense out of truth, facts. Amen. It means when you understand it, it makes sense to you what it's saying. Praise God. And Paul uses this down here in his scripture, and he says, you know, reckon unto you, praise God, your understanding, the knowledge of God that you have. I want to get bogged down here, folks. I really don't. But I'll tell you, tonight, this afternoon, you need a working knowledge of God's divine word. You really do. You need this good instruction. Do not discount Sunday school. Hello.
Unfortunately, we've reached in a time to where,
how do I want to say this without, I just say it. Sometimes, you know, a sermon, a preaching, if it's not just full of emotion, we just shut it off and discount it. When the man's really trying to tell you something that's going to help you day after tomorrow, you need to pay attention to that. Hey, it'd be all right. Write it down. It really would. Because you're going to need to make some sense of what he said after a while. You're going to need that understanding. You're going to have to reckon some things. Put it to your heart and your life, praise God. And I tell you, knowledge is something that you can acquire in a lot of different ways. But understanding only comes by personal experience. Let me illustrate that. You can read all day long how to drive a car, go to school, get the books, and you know, and sit in the classroom, watch all the PowerPoint presentations you want to. But it ain't nothing like getting in the car and you gotta push the pedal and change the gears. And hey, amen, you think you know how to drive? Well, get in another vehicle and tag a trailer on it. You'll find you'll get a good understanding about that after a while. That right, Brother Lord? I mean, you know, drag a trailer and some around, you know. Well, y'all here in Martinville, and I don't want to get too carnal here, but all of you is aware, obviously, of the Speedway. Well, there's another one in Atlanta, and it's called I-285. I call it 285 International Speedway. Drag a trailer across that, you'll find some of that in the driver's manual. Just ain't helping you too much now. You need some personal experience. Is that right? Praise God. And I'll tell you, when you live, somebody said, why am I going through all this trouble? Why am I dealing with all this? Why are these ungodly thoughts rushing to my mind? God perhaps is trying to take some knowledge that you've had and give you some practical experience to go with it so you can maintain and keep the victory. It's not that he doesn't love you. It's not that he's not concerned about you. But he comprehends that knowledge alone is not good enough. You gotta have some experience to go with it. Amen. Knowledge deals with the mind. Understanding focuses on your heart. And then the last word I want to deal with, and it's mentioned at least 5 times in this section, and that's the word yield. He mentions it in verse 13, 16, and 19 of this chapter, to yield. Frankly, very briefly, this word just simply means it has a feel about it. Submit. I mean, you can, or present. I mean, we know the scripture. Somebody quoted it last night, I believe it was. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? All right, that's the same word as yield. Look it up, Strong's. Same word. That you yield your body a living sacrifice. You submit your body to the altar as a living sacrifice. That has to do with your will. You got a head knowledge of it. You've got a little bit of understanding by personal experience. And now you know what it's all about. You got to make a choice. Now you got to make a choice. I tell you, the old sacrifices, the sacrifices in the Old Testament were dead sacrifices, wasn't it? They died. And perhaps the Lord may ask some to die for him. But it's certain he's going to ask all of us to live for him. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, folks. Amen. It's a conscious decision that you make. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul deals with that here. And I'm briefly going to mention this, and I'm going to take my seat. God, why does he deal with our bodies so much? Think about that throughout the scriptures. It has to do with everything. He said here, neither yield your members as instruments. What members he's talking about? Hands, feet, eyes, mind. I mean, all of those things. And it's up to you is what you do with them. Be careful of the eyes, what you see. He deals with all of that. Why is that? Well, to begin with, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And God wants to use your body for the glory of God. He really does. Amen. But now, not only that, but he wants to use your body as a tool and as a weapon to build up the kingdom of God. And you know, God can, we know he can do anything. That's a rhetorical statement. Amen. We know that, but we also know God uses men. God sent an angel down, it'd be like Brother Butt Wilson. They'd just take off running. They won't see that. Scare them to death, but they'll listen to you. You're from here. They know you. So what I do down in these countries, I'm trying to equip these men to win their own people. I ain't trying to build up a kingdom for me. I want them to be equipped in such a manner that if the time comes and I can't be there, the work of God goes on and they win their own people. I found out, Pastor, and I'm from Mobile. For those of you who didn't know, I was raised in Mobile, Alabama. I ended up pastoring in Georgia for a number of years in Vidalia, Georgia. However, I wasn't from Vidalia, Georgia. Brother Eugene, I wasn't raised there. They were men and women that lived there that wasn't a preacher in any shape, form, or fashion, had a greater influence in that community than I did. Why? Because they lived there and they know them. People knew them, and God used them as a tool. I got to hurry. Praise the Lord. Moses' rod was in his hand. Look what it done. David's sling, look what it done. Amen. All of these things, Revelation, think about how God used John's body. He saw, he heard, he went, he experienced all these things, and finally he wrote with his hands. Praise God. Tell you folks, Christ has destroyed the power of sin, and he's left it with you to choose what to do with the power, to sin or not. Praise God. Three things here. Knowledge. You've been crucified with Christ. You reckon that to be true. You've got confidence in that. Nobody can convince you any different, because you have experienced that. And I use that word experience kind of loosely here. I mean, you know, you can eat too much pizza and experience things. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I use that loosely. But because you have experienced Christ in his saving knowledge, in his saving grace, you know that, you've read it, you look back and say, you know, I know what that's all about. I understand that. And because I know it, I've experienced it, I'm going to choose to do right. Amen. I'm going to choose to do the right thing. Years and years ago, back before, you know, XM radio and all that, we used to have an interesting radio station, 15 LAC. 1500 on AM dial, 1 o'clock in the morning, way back in the 80s, you could hear all kind of spiritual things. And there was one guy advertising. I'm going to sit down with this. He was advertising, among other spiritual things, the do-right route. You could send him $5, and he would send you the do-right route, guaranteed to grow. You want to do right in your finances? You want to do right in your marriage and all that? Send me $5 and plant this do-right root, and it'll grow. Well, I got something better than a do-right root. It's called the Word of God, the offspring, amen, of the tribe of Jesse. Hallelujah! And it will guaranteed to grow in your heart if you'll plant it and let somebody else water and submit to it. You'll bring forth fruit in your season. Praise God. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for your attention.